V-minus 45. GCC headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Interesting, President Slater said, reacting to the news that Dan had gained telepathic abilities with the last word he'd expected to hear. Dan gulped, tremendously glad that neither Slater nor Emma could discern the level of fear in his thoughts. This is something I didn't expect, the president continued. I thought there would be a flash, so that wasn't overly surprising, but this second time-stamped image shows that it went on longer than I would have guessed. This part is slightly more surprising, but I don't think it's something we need to trouble Chairman Godfrey with. Dan breathed the deepest, relieved sigh of his life. Slater wasn't just being discreet, she was clearly on board. With the phone still in his hand, he typed again. I can keep listening in or I can kill the connection. If I keep it live, I can say things you want me to say without him knowing, and I can't dive deep into the recesses of your memories or read your mind like that. It only lets me hear conscious thoughts. Gazing into Slater's eyes, he had her consent within seconds. He typed again very quickly, this time for Emma. Do you want your voice to be in my head too, telling me what to say? Definitely, Emma said, answering Dan in a way that passably sounded like it was a response to Slater. Do we know when to expect him back? As if by magic, Slater's reply that Godfrey should be back at any moment was interrupted by the opening of the door and his stepping inside. Fucking ding, the GCC chairman cursed as he stomped towards his desk. He sighed, exasperated, and roughly ran a palm down his face to try to push the anger to one side for now. Dan, Emma, thank you. Now, in the name of all that is holy, please tell me something I want to hear. Are the triangles fake? The messengers didn't tell me, Dan replied. They couldn't tell me. Without the need for words, Godfrey's expression asked what the hell Dan was getting at. As briefly as he could, Dan recounted every recallable detail of his meeting with the messengers, other than the rather important part regarding the powers he was granted. This retelling was the first time either Godfrey or Slater had heard in any detail about the reluctantly evasive replies Dan received when asking about the triangles, and both appeared particularly concerned to hear of a problem with the messenger's elders. I'm worried about that too, Dan said, speaking to Godfrey. At times, he had to be careful not to reply aloud to an unspoken point he heard from Slater, cognizant of the risk of slipping up and letting Godfrey in on the secret. He didn't quite know why he didn't want Godfrey to know about the powers at this stage, but his vague thoughts on the subject were mainly related to Godfrey's recurring recklessness in the arena of international affairs. And you're worried because their elders tell them exactly what to do? Slater asked, wisely speaking out loud. Dan nodded. And the words they used regarding their elders, Godfrey said. Can you home in on exactly what they said was wrong? Was it illness, corruption, disagreement, some kind of decision-making gridlock? I don't know, Dan sighed. But if this isn't a hoax, which they weren't able to tell me, maybe there's a chance that the elders told them to plant these triangles, but now they've backtracked or changed the orders, and that's why the messengers showed up now? They didn't tell me. They couldn't tell me. And it's making me physically ill trying to work this out. Welcome to our world, Chairman Godfrey said with no hint of humor. But Dan, you know the messengers better than any of us could ever hope to. What does your gut say? And what would be your next move here? Dan looked at Emma, as he always did in times of confusion. She was as glad as ever to use her nimble and well-honed mind for persuasive speech, but on this occasion her words of assistance did not have to be spoken aloud. Fighting past how crazy it all was, Dan took Emma's silent suggestions on board as they continued to come even when he turned back to Godfrey. He explained very quickly and efficiently that he wanted to meet and publicly interview John Cole and Poppy Bradshaw to interrogate them with any questions discreetly suggested by Godfrey and Slater. Slater, hearing of this plan for the first time despite being in on the far more shocking revelation, silenced a gasp of sudden understanding. Dan continued by stating that his outreach could be a way of the GCC being seen to try to bridge the gap between itself and its Beijing-based counterpart, since it would be understood that Dan, as a U.S. national, would be visiting non-aligned nations with the implicit permission of his government, who could have blocked his external movements if they saw fit. Emma butted in to name Cuba as the planned spot for a meeting with Cole. Her vocal input was unnecessary, but it maintained the familiar pattern of her appearing to guide Dan's way, which she was, just far more subtly and privately than normal. Godfrey, to everyone else's mild surprise, didn't look to be dead set against the idea. That might not be as crazy as it sounds, but it has to be said that there's a conspicuous pattern we can all see, but which we all seem to understand shouldn't be mentioned in public, he mused. If they followed the modus operandi they've established so far, Ding will probably reveal the third triangle while you're talking to Cole or being paraded around the streets. He stole my thunder on Friday night while I was talking downstairs. He stole your thunder on Saturday night during Focus 2020, and I'd wager that the only reason a triangle didn't magically turn up last night is that there was no thunder to steal. All I'm saying is this. When you meet Cole, be prepared for an unexpected interruption. That's the kind of thing they would pull. But why would they want to steal any thunder when I'm in Cuba talking to Cole? Dan asked. That's good PR for them, isn't it? Emma chimed in, the tone offering a hint of agreement with Dan's point. Yeah. If that is what's been happening so far, which we don't really know for sure, I don't think it'll happen again this time. It would put you on the spot, and I think that's the last thing they'll want to be seen to do. Even on Focus 2020, before they knew you were willing to talk to them, Cole didn't go into attack dog mode on you like he usually does. No one openly disputed this reading of events. And for Poppy, Emma continued, I was thinking somewhere non-aligned, ideally also somewhere close, which limits our options. Godfrey upturned his palms. Cuba for Cole, naturally. But if we're looking for a non-aligned country for the Poppy meeting, the obvious nearby choice is surely Honduras. Honduras is a delicate one, President Slater interjected. They depend on us for trade, and we still work together on the ground to combat drug trafficking, but they've been eyeing closer links with China for years. Their post-contact neutrality was a calculated move to try to bring better offers from both sides. She turned to Godfrey. But if we deliver Dan for a public appearance, that could be something of a hearts and minds victory for us. Us being the GCC, Godfrey asked. Slater nodded. That said, I very much doubt that a high-profile event on the Honduran mainland at extremely short notice will be viable from a security angle, so we'll draft an invitation, or challenge, for a meeting on one of the Bay Islands. Roatan, most likely? Because with the best will in the world, Honduras isn't Cuba. We don't have to like the Cubans to acknowledge that they have a firm record of maintaining public order and guarding high-value individuals. Nationally, the Hondurans would definitely prefer a mainland venue, but when this is all that's on offer, they'll still jump at it. It's good press, it'll hugely boost the country's tourism profile, and it'll probably help them squeeze better terms from Beijing next time there's a deal to negotiate. How close are those islands to Cuba? Dan asked, more than willing to bow to Slater's evidently superior knowledge of all things Honduran. Can't be much more than 500 miles, the president shrugged. She in turn glanced at Emma, awaiting her gut reaction. Honduras works, she responded. My main hesitation was about security, but the island idea sounds like it takes care of that. And I think, while we should invite Cole, we should challenge Poppy. Cole and Ding will jump all over this, so making it seem as cordial as possible makes sense. I'm a lot less sure that Poppy and her idiot friends will be quite so willing, so I think we should issue a challenge she can't back down from without losing face. I would shoot an organic-looking video of Dan standing outside this office, saying that Godfrey has already spoken to him, that Cole is going to sit down for a one-on-one televised interview, and that he hopes the GeoSovs will have the balls to do the same. I'd name the time and place, and say this is Poppy's opportunity to make the case she claims she couldn't make on Focus 2020 because de Klerk froze her out. Done. Done, President Slater firmly agreed. Cole is going to arrive in Cuba within hours, so we'll get on that invitation and the interview will happen tomorrow. There's no doubt in my mind. Emma, feel free to arrange the challenge video for Poppy, and we'll get to work on logistics for Honduras so we're ready to go as soon as she is. Ideally, that's going to be in as little as 48 hours. And just like that, done. Everyone turned to Godfrey, who grinned and let out a slight chuckle. Sounds like we're done. I want these chips out of our necks before we go to Cuba, Dan said, facing President Slater. You said whenever we want. I did, Slater replied. But that was when you were at home. I'm sure we could find a medical center here that can assist, though. From what I've learned, it's a very basic device. I'll sort something out for you, Godfrey interjected. We have an in-house doctor, or you can go to the university hospital. I'd understand if you have some hang-ups about using the GCC doctor, so I won't take offense in the slightest. Dan subtly established a connection to Godfrey, immediately sensing that his intentions were pure. He wasn't trying to do anything funny with the chips. Dan also knew he would be able to listen in to the doctors to gauge their intentions, and he really did want the chip gone before he left for Cuba, an ELF member state where it might prove more difficult to find a doctor he could trust. We'll use your doctor, Dan said, nodding at Godfrey, then turning to Emma. She couldn't hear Godfrey's thoughts, but had seen Dan subtly moving his fingers to establish the connection, so knew that he had already listened in. Works for me, she said. We'll shoot this video first, then go to the doctor before we head back to the plane. Excellent. And you can shoot your video anywhere in the building you like, Godfrey said. Just please don't let anyone talk to Dan. Emma, Dan, and President Slater all thought the same thing when Godfrey said this, but kept to themselves the point that no one would have to talk to Dan for him to hear them. He wouldn't be listening to any lowly GCC staff members' thoughts, or indeed anyone else's in Buenos Aires, though, for Dan's interest now lay solely in Cuba and Honduras. His interest, as it always had and always would, lay in finding the truth.